I am Plante on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Open now and running until the 24th of March 2013 at the Museum of Anthropology's O'Brien Gallery is a new exhibit entitled Pleased to Meet You, Introductions by Gwyn Henson Piggott. The celebrated ceramic artist had access to the museum's vast permanent collection, and what she's done is reassembled pieces with some of her own. Some of the pieces would never be grouped together, and what one sees are so-called introductions based on color, form, and pattern. It's a compelling exhibit, and we see a sort of new aesthetic perspective develop when these objects are reassembled. I'm very pleased to be able to speak to Gwyn Henson Piggott just as the exhibit has opened. I'll get her to tell us about how this all came about, the process she took in putting these installations together, and what she sought to do in making these clever, ingenious, and remarkable introductions. Gwyn Henson Piggott is one of Australia's most significant contemporary artists who's exhibited extensively in Australia, America, Europe, and Asia. She's won countless awards for her work, and in 2002 was awarded the Medal of the Order of Australia for her service to the arts as a ceramic artist and teacher. This exhibit is curated by Dr. Carol E. Mayer and Susan Jeffries. Please welcome to the Plante Online program Gwyn Henson Piggott. Ms. Piggott, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So how did this exhibit come together? Did they come to you, the Museum of Anthropology, and say that we want you to do this?
Oh, well, it was a follow-on, I think, from an exhibition I set up at the Freer Gallery at the Smithsonian in Washington, where I was invited to make arrangements, parades, and groupings, and trails out of the collection, wonderful collection there of ancient Oriental ceramic.
Hmm. Yeah. Did you have a lot of fun doing this?
I'm sorry, there's a bit of a noise there.
No, not a problem. Not a problem. Did you have a lot of fun doing this?
Oh, I had a tremendous amount of fun.
Yeah.
Yes. No, it was just so extraordinary to be able to spend time just mining all the wonderful, just walking through and seeing all the wonderful objects at the moment, and particularly to be able to go into the stores and open drawers and find treasures. Yes.
I guess there's a lot of stuff that we don't see if we visit the art gallery that's in storage, I suppose, right?
Yes, I guess so. I think so, yes. There's so much in store, but I believe it's rotated, so from time to time you will see things, but not always at the time of your visit, perhaps.
Yeah. Now, did you bring pieces with you from Australia?
Oh, I had sent some over from Australia. I'd sent it in advance, a couple of groupings, which I call clusters, and then a few pieces, not many, that when I'd come a year ago to select these pieces, I found there was something I needed in a group but I couldn't find, and I said, oh, well, I'll just make that myself. So I'd make a bowl and put that with a group, or I made three bottles that went in with another group.
Mm. Yeah. Now, in terms of how you saw the collection and got to pick these pieces, you saw them, you said, in person when you were here a year ago. I guess digitally you'd have to look at the pieces that way, right?
Well, yes, I started looking at the collection digitally, yes. But it's such a huge collection, and actually I didn't leave myself much time, and it was alphabetical. I got as far as, I think, for fan, or maybe a little bit further than that. But and then I realized, look, I can't visualize the, even though you can find out the sizes, but I thought it would be much better to see them in situ, so it was much better to come here and just look at them. But I had an idea of what was in the store before I came.
Mm. Now, I understand your studio is in Queensland, is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah, and is your house attached to that?
Oh, yes. Well, the studio is in, well, we built the studio in the garden of the house, yes.
Mm. Yeah. So how much time do you spend there a day?
Oh, well, varies tremendously. Because there's so many other things you have to do. I mean, I spend a lot of time in my office, unfortunately, but, well, as much as I can, but mainly it's in the evening.
Really?
When the phone won't go and people won't visit, and I'm not tempted to go for a swim or something if it's really hot.
Yeah. And is the climate there, is it like it is here, or is it a lot warmer?
Oh, it can be very warm. It can be much, much, much too warm in the summer. It gets very, very hot, yes.
Yeah.
And it can get cold, too, in the winter.
Yeah.
But I do most of my work inside, so I can control the climate a little bit.
When you, because I read about you prior to preparing for this interview today, I read that you'd lived, you know, you'd spent some time in France, you'd spent some time in England, and you'd gone to various places around the world. Did you find that wherever you went, say, if you were going to live someplace, that it was easy for you to get back into the work of being a ceramicist?
Oh, yes. Well, I went to England to study, actually, to work with really potters, master potters who I wanted to spend time with Bernard Leach and Michael Cardew, and Finch. That's why I went there. And then, then I set up, I married a writer who wanted to be in London.
Mm-hmm.
Then I set up in a basement in London, and that was quite tricky, setting up a pottery in a basement in London. But I was there for several years, then moved to France, to a pottery area near La Bourne, is perhaps the most famous place. They're in central France, where they've been making pots since the 15th century. So, because there's clay there and there are forests there to fire with wood. So, and I was there for quite a few years, seven or eight years. And that was wonderful there because everything was there, all the materials were there. Hmm.
And how long would it take, say, for the local culture to influence your work? I mean, would it right away?
Well, I don't know how much influence it had, except, of course, the clay itself influences the work, the type of work you do. But I've always been making pots that you can use. That's what I love.
Yeah. So if we went to your house and you were kind enough to service, say, lunch or something, all the dishes would be yours?
Not at all.
No?
No, they wouldn't be mine at all. They'd be my friends, my potter friends, who's... Because I love to use other people's work that I love, because it's my way of relating to them in a way. Because most of the you know, I don't live in a community of potters.
Uh-huh.
I love using other people's work.
Yeah, there's something.
Some of mine.
Yeah, yes. There's something. I mean, in reading up about pottery and the sword in the last few days, there's something about you people that work in clay. That regardless of culture or technique, there's something that connects you.
Well, I think so. I don't know how to speak to that.
I guess it's the craft, right?
Yes. Everybody approaches work a different way, but I relate mostly to people who've come through almost the traditional approach to pottery, and a lot of that is to do with lifestyle too. The people who live in the country and want to live a simple lifestyle and make things.
Hmm. I read an article a couple days ago about Lisa Henriquez. I guess she's a local artist here.
That's right.
Yeah.
She was sitting next to me right now. She's gone away.
Now she spent a lot of time in Australia with you, right?
She spent time with me. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have many people who come to you to apprentice?
No, that's actually rare.
Yeah.
Because I like to... I used to have, when I lived in France, I had a very large kiln, and I also used to go and teach in England, and sometimes in the summer, students would come over from and work at my place and help fire the kiln, because it needed people to help. It was large. But not, in Australia, not so many, no. And I really liked just work, and she wanted to come, so she came twice to my place. Was good.
Mm. Yeah. How do you want those of us who might not know much about art and the sort to go to the Museum of Anthropology in the next several weeks and see that which you've assembled there? I mean, do we have to go in there with some notion, say?
Not at all. No, the best thing is to go without any thought in your head whatsoever and just be open to what's there, because it's one of the things is, you know, we haven't got any labels on any of the work.
Right.
I just assembled the work from just relationships of work together, just according to my fancy in a way. Some of them are quite probably a little bit cheeky, and one lovely objects that I felt related to each other, just by beauty, really.
Yeah. Was there something that you were trying to say, though, in terms of the groupings that you made?
Not really. it's called Pleased to Meet You because they're objects that usually don't meet each other. You know, they're not from any particular time that relates them. Nothing relates to them, but they were happy to meet each other, I feel. I mean, I introduced them, I suppose, to each other. Because they were related by either color or feeling or emotion. So I just wanted people to just look at things in a different way without thinking about where they were made, how they were made. I hope that works.
Yeah.
People seem to be enjoying it, actually.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it because I was reading the guidebook afterwards. And, you know, some of the exhibits, you know, they have things from different centuries, different colors.
Oh, absolutely.
Different countries, even.
Yes.
Yeah. When you were putting this all together, because when we see the exhibit, it's behind glass, obviously.
Yes.
What's it like to handle it?
Well, I didn't get to handle anything for quite some time because, of course, had white gloves, of course,
yeah.
And it was usually brought to me on trolleys. I would point to something, and then it was brought, and I could only handle it when it was in the research room, when they were on the table, because they're so precious, so I had to hold them over the table, of course, but it was wonderful to be able to handle them and see them so closely. It's an honor. It's an honor. These pieces have been made by wonderful craftsmen over the years, and just to be able to feel and handle and look at closely, and wonderful pieces that I, you know, that I hadn't seen were new to me, totally mm-hmm. new to me. It's great.
For you, when you observe some of these objects, when you see them, when does whatever the object might be—a bowl or a cup or a bottle or mm-hmm. an egg. When does it become art, or what's the difference between art and artifact, and can it be the same thing?
Well, I tend to not put things in categories like that, but I guess art is about being moved by something, really being touched by something, and I think any object of any sort, painting, sculpture, artifact, they can touch you, they can bring back memories, they can... take you to a different space. Then you can call that art.
Yeah. Now, you obviously don't have all of the pieces that you've made over the course of your career. A lot of them, my understanding is, belongs in private collections and the sort. Do you miss them?
No, I don't. I don't, because actually I like it when everything's gone from my studio and I have an empty space, and then I feel, I have to... is asking for something new, yes.
Yeah, and nothing, like, let's say you make, you know, a bowl or something like that, or a cup, it's not the same? I mean, do you ever make one of, like, two of the same thing, or?
Well, I used to make dinner sets, and, lots of settings, yes, I did. And so I make them in series now, but because of my training, it's actually hard not to make them the same, so I go to a lot of trouble not to make them the same, even though I might be making a series of cups. They'll all be different, and slightly different in shape or size, and certainly different in color when I glaze them. So I can mix them together, and they can be in juxtaposition with each other, but will be different.
Yeah. How has technology affected your work? Technology, has that affected your work a great deal?
I'm not quite sure.
Like computers, for example, has that affected how kilns work and the sort?
No. I'm a bit of a Luddite, really.
Yeah.
I like, my favorite thing is a wood fire kiln, which has got no computer with it whatsoever. I mean, I really like the fact that we can connect through computers with so many collections and so many people. That side of things has been great.
Yeah.
But no, I'm still a bit old-fashioned in my glazing.
I
mix everything up by hand. I dip the glazes. I don't spray. You know, I just like a very hands-on, human sort of an approach.
Yeah. Mm. Now, as an artist, acclaimed artist, I read your sort of a description of who you are. You're known around the world in the sort. Is validation like that, is that important to you?
To be known?
Yeah.
Well, it's important in that I can have my work seen. I really like to have it seen. I think all others do, and so that's important. And it's taken me to lovely places. Like, if I wasn't known, I wouldn't be here at MOA, and I wouldn't have the opportunities to be at the FRIO. So all that side of things is great.
Yeah.
But I'm not making in order to be famous, of course. But I do love it that I've gone out to different places. And through that, I can meet other people. And through that, I have other opportunities. Yes, it's good.
Yeah. And do you still enjoy teaching?
I don't teach.
No, you don't. But I mean, if like Lisa, when she comes to apprentice with you.
Oh, yes, but it's not so much teaching. If she comes there, we just work together, and it's just what I'm doing day to day, she becomes involved with it, yes.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that, yes, showing people. But I stopped actual teaching in 1988. But yes, part of teaching I really loved. I loved teaching. I had it. To teach little children, and then I taught in special schools, and then I've taught in the Flying Arts School, which is going in a little Cessna plane around different parts of Queensland, the very remote places, and teaching people who don't get much contact with potters and artists. That sort of thing I found really interesting. Yeah.
Now, when I went to see the exhibit this afternoon, you were giving a lecture, I guess, in one of the theaters there, and I couldn't get in because it was jam packed.
Oh no!
Yeah, but what's that like to when people come out to see you and want to hear you and hear about your craft?
I'm sorry, there's an announcement at the moment. I'm trying to get to a quiet place.
No, that's fine. I mean, what's that like when you have a great number of people wanting to hear you and talk about your craft?
Oh, well, I love talking about certain aspects of my craft, because I was talking there about experiences I had in Japan and in different places where I've been working in collaboration. It was about working in collaboration with other artists and with other museums. So, no, I enjoy that. I like that. I don't mind at all.
Yeah.
I live alone, actually, and potting is very quiet, and it's a very lonely craft, really. So it's nice to be able to talk to other people about what you're doing. And
yeah.
Afterwards, of course, there's a lot of conversations and questions, and I enjoy that, yes.
Yeah. What's it like to be admired as you are?
I don't know. What's it like? I don't know. I'm very lucky. I don't know. It's not that important. I'm not admired by everyone, I have to tell you.
Yeah. It's been such a pleasure to and an honor to talk to you today, Gwen, and I urge everyone to visit the Museum of Anthropology until March, certainly.
Oh, good. I hope people do, and I hope people enjoy. That's the idea. Have fun.
Indeed.
Thank you.
The exhibit is called Pleased to Meet You, Introductions by Gwen Hanson-Piggott. Visit moa.ubc.ca for more information. Gwen Hanson-Piggott joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.